I want you to close your eyes for a second. Picture a birthday cake.
Okay.
But not just any cake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking one that is absolutely crowded with candles.
Mm-hmm.
80, maybe 90 of them. You know, a real fire hazard.
The kind that sets off the smoke alarm.
Exactly. Now, that image, that's sort of the target in our culture, right? We want the high score. But here's the question I want to start with. Is the goal just to be the person sitting behind that cake?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're too tired to, you know, blow out the candles?
That is the fundamental question of aging, isn't it? And honestly, if the goal is just more years, just existing for longer, I think we're setting the bar way too low.
I completely agree. And that's why I'm so excited about the material we're working through today.
We are diving into a really fascinating set of excerpts from The Blueprint for Vital Longevity. And the core argument here, the mission statement, really, is that we have to stop talking about lifespan.
Just a number.
Right, just a number on a driver's license. We have to start obsessing over vitality.
Health span versus lifespan. We hear those terms thrown around a lot.
All the time.
It's almost a cliche. But looking at this, it feels like the author is trying to push us past the buzzwords into something, you know, actionable.
Completely. The goal, as the source defines it, is extending our vital years so we can reach distant goals. It's functional. It's all about capability, not just duration.
It's the difference between being 90 in a bed and being 90 and, I don't know, hiking a trail.
Exactly. And what really struck me reading this is the confidence in the text.
It isn't vague, is it? It's very directive.
Not at all. We are not in the realm of, you know, folklore anymore. The text says we are sitting on mass volumes of scientific data. We know how the machine works. We're not guessing. We can actually engineer those extra healthy years.
That's the hook for me. Usually an anti-aging article is either drink more water or think positive. This feels like an engineer wrote a manual for the human body. It feels like a cheat sheet.
It is a cheat sheet, but I have to warn you, and you, the listener, it's also a massive reality check. We can't get to the solutions without looking at the problem. And the source starts with some pretty brutal biology.
Yeah, I noticed that. It did not sugarcoat the decline. It basically says, here is what is trying to kill you.
Precisely. Wishing for a healthy 90 years is easy. Making it happy means confronting the biological reality. The source names the enemies.
The big three.
The big three conditions that dictate our future. Heart disease, stroke, and cancer. Now, we all know these names. They're the boogeymen. But the source throws a statistic at us that just, it stopped me in my tracks.
I think I know which one you mean, about the root cause.
Yes. Studies on millions of people show that over half of these conditions are caused by poor diets.
Wait, over half?
Over half.
That's, honestly, yeah. That's terrifying. Because it means we aren't just victims of bad luck or genetics. We're inviting these enemies in through the front door 3 times a day.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
And it gets more insidious. The source explains how nature actually masks the damage.
This was the silent danger part. This really creeped me out. Explain that, because usually if I'm sick, I feel sick.
Well, think about a car. If your car has a big problem, a light comes on, or you hear a noise, you know immediately. The human body is different. Nature lets us function in what the text calls a somewhat reduced fashion.
So you can be walking around, going to work, feeling fine, but you're actually degrading underneath the hood.
Precisely. You adapt to feeling a little bit worse. Year after year, you think, oh, I'm just getting older. But the damage is accumulating. The debt is piling up until, as the text says, advanced age hits us and suddenly the outcomes are poor.
So we're driving with the check engine light taped over.
Perfect analogy. And that brings us to the mindset. If the danger is silent, your response has to be loud. The source is so explicit, there is no substitute for a strong-willed mindset.
Yeah, I highlighted that. This isn't for the lazy. It demands a serious, disciplined approach. It's almost military in its tone.
It has to be. You are fighting entropy. You're fighting the body's natural decay. So you have to tap into every advantage. Luckily, the blueprint gives us a framework. It lays out 6 pillars.
I love a good list. But I want to pay attention to the order here, because the rankings seemed very deliberate. What's the hierarchy?
Okay, let's run them down in order of importance. Number 1, regular exercise.
Okay.
Number 2, a plain food diet. Number 3, regular deep sleep. 4 is stress control. 5, mental engagement. And number 6, social engagement.
Okay, hold on. I have to stop you there because that order genuinely surprised me. I feel like we always hear abs are made in the kitchen, right? That diet is 80% of the game.
That's the common wisdom.
But this puts exercise above diet.
It does. And that is a critical distinction in this text.
Why? Why does movement beat food here?
Well, diet keeps the engine clean, sure, but exercise actually builds the engine. It triggers repair mechanisms that, frankly, broccoli just can't. But before we dig into that, I do like that the source says you can add your own private lifestyle habits to the list.
Right, the personal stuff, like meditation, hobbies, gardening.
Exactly. Things that feed the soul. But let's go back to that number one spot, because the source makes a very bold claim about it.
It calls it the most potent tool.
If there is a magic bullet, this is it. The text says, and I'm quoting here, "The most potent tool to overcome the effects of aging is a regularly scheduled workout program. No other health pursuit compares to it."
No other health pursuit compares to it.
Yeah.
Not kale,
yeah.
Not meditation, not some expensive supplement. That's a huge statement. So why? What's the biological mechanism?
It comes down to two words: muscle. Mass.
Muscle mass.
The source argues that protecting your muscle mass and strength is, and this is another quote, guaranteed to extend your lifespan.
Guaranteed. We don't use that word lightly in science.
We do not. But think about what muscle does. It's not just for looks. Yeah. Muscle is your metabolic armor. It disposes of glucose, protects your bones, it helps your immune system, and crucially, it lets you move. When you lose muscle, you become frail. And frailty is the beginning of the end.
This is where I think a lot of listeners might check out, though. They think, well, I'm 50 or 60. The ship has sailed. I'm not going to be a bodybuilder now.
And that is the exact myth the source wants to destroy. It cites studies proving that age is no deterrent.
Really? Even if you've been sedentary your whole life?
Yes. People in their 90s can readily build muscle and strength. The body still responds. It wants to adapt. It just needs the signal.
That's incredibly hopeful, but it brings us back to that strong-willed mindset. The source uses a really intense analogy. It says we need the mindset of an athlete planning for the Olympics.
It does. It raises the stakes.
Now, I'm not going to the Olympics. If I run for the bus, I need a recovery day. So what does an Olympic mindset mean for a regular person? Is that realistic?
I think you have to look at the attitude. It's not about running a sub-10-second 100 meters. It's about dedication. Even if your goal is just playing with your grandkids, you have to treat the preparation with the same seriousness.
So you don't train when you feel like it. You train because it's the mission.
Exactly. An Olympian doesn't skip practice because it's raining. They do it because the outcome matters more than the temporary discomfort. The source is saying, your life is the event. Train for it.
Okay, let's get tactical. Because train like an Olympian is a bit abstract. The source gives us minimums. I love this. What am I actually doing today?
First, daily movement. The source says people who reach advanced age almost always have a daily habit of movement. They do not sit for long periods.
I'm so guilty of that. Hey, can you grab me a water while you're up?
We all are. It's the convenience trap. The numbers are specific. 7,000 to 10,000 steps a day. Or 60 to 90 minutes of total movement.
Okay, 7,000 to 10,000 steps. That's the baseline. But walking isn't enough to build that armor, right?
Correct. Walking maintains, it doesn't build. You need strength training. The blueprint recommends 2 to 3 times a week. And it specifies the focus areas, legs, back, and grip exercises.
Grip exercises. That one caught my eye. Legs and back, sure. But why grip?
It's fascinating, right? Grip strength is heavily correlated with overall vitality. It's a proxy for your total body strength and your neural drive. If your grip is weak, your overall functional strength is probably declining. It can predict mortality better than blood pressure.
So carry heavy groceries.
Or deadlift. Anything that challenges the hands. And they also mentioned balance, specifically standing on one leg.
With a chair nearby.
Please, yes, with a chair nearby. But those are the minimums to keep the machine running.
So we've got movement down. Now let's tackle pillar two, diet. The source calls for a plain food diet.
Which sounds a bit boring.
It sounds like gruel. But then it points to the Mediterranean diet. It calls it the strongest diet linked to longevity. Why is that one always the winner?
Because it covers all the bases without being so restrictive that you fail. It supports muscle, it supports insulin sensitivity, and it supports gut health.
Okay, so yes list and no list. What's in the shopping cart?
Daily, you're looking at vegetables and greens, fruit, whole grains, legumes, tree nuts and seeds.
And protein.
Fish 2 to 3 times a week. And of course, extra virgin olive oil.
And the no list, I can guess.
No surprise here. Restrict sugar, refined carbs, and avoid ultra-processed foods. It's just like it said, a plain food diet. Food that looks like food.
Now, there was a specific point here about carbohydrates that I thought was really important, especially with keto being so huge right now.
A critical point. The source explicitly says, avoid very low-carb diets.
Why? If we're avoiding sugar and refined carbs, why not just cut them all?
Because of the first pillar, exercise. Remember, the goal is to build muscle. Carbs are the primary fuel for resistance training. They let you push hard enough to get the adaptation.
And there's a muscle-sparing effect, right?
Exactly. Carbs help reduce muscle breakdown. If you cut them too low while training hard, your body might start breaking down its own muscle for fuel. You compromise the very work that keeps you young.
That makes so much sense. You can't train like an Olympian on an empty tank.
Speaking of fuel, let's talk protein. The source gives us a math equation. It does. It notes that most of us run a protein deficit. We just don't eat enough. To fix that, you multiply 0.7 times your body weight in pounds.
Okay, 0.7 times body weight. So if I'm, let's say, 150 pounds for easy math, that's what, about 105 grams of protein?
Correct. And that's a simple formula, but I guarantee most people are not hitting it unless they're really paying attention.
100 grams is a lot. That's not just an egg for breakfast. That's a chicken breast, some Greek yogurt. You have to plan for that.
You do. And hitting that number is key. If you do the workout but don't eat the protein, you're doing the demolition without the construction.
I want to pivot to something I see all over social media. Supplements. Take this pill to reverse aging. The source has a section on this, and it sounded like a warning siren.
It absolutely is a warning. It addresses anti-aging supplements directly. It says this corner of the health industry is largely unregulated, used by opportunists to cash in.
So if someone is promising me renewed youth in a bottle,
be very, very skeptical. The source says to thoroughly investigate such products. Don't just buy the hype.
However, it doesn't dismiss all nutrients. There are a few specific things it does recommend for muscles, but with a big disclaimer. Requires doctor okay.
Always check with your doctor. But with that clearance, the source highlights three nutrients with real data behind them. First is vitamin D.
The sunshine vitamins.
Essential for muscle strength. The tech suggests 1,000 to 2,000 IUs a day. Most of us are deficient.
Second.
Omega-3 fatty acids.
Fish oil.
Yep. Fish or 1 to 2 grams of EPA DHA daily. The benefit here is that it improves muscle protein uptake. It makes your muscles more efficient at using the protein you eat.
The third one.
Magnesium, found in leafy greens, nuts, seeds. It's crucial for muscle contraction. If you're low, your muscles can't perform and your sleep suffers.
So it's not some laundry list of exotic powders. It's vitamin D, omega-3, magnesium, the basic.
Exactly. It's not magic. It's physiology.
We've covered the body, the exercise, the food, the chemistry, but the blueprint ends with something softer. The psychology of long life.
This is my favorite part because it connects the physical to the mental. The source outlines the personality traits of long-lived people.
It's not just about being grumpy and eating kale.
Far from it. The text says they tend to be adaptable, not rigid. They are curious and engaged.
Curious and engaged. That goes back to the other pillars. You have to want to stick around to see what happens next.
But there is one characteristic listed that I found profound, especially after all this talk about discipline. The source says long-lived people are not obsessed about aging.
That's a contradiction, isn't it?
It certainly seems like one.
I mean, on one hand, we need a strong-willed mindset. We need to be like athletes, measure our protein, count our 7,000 steps, avoid sugar.
Yes, it sounds intense, a full-time job.
But on the other hand, we're told to be adaptable, not rigid, not obsessed. How do you square that? Can you be an obsessive Olympian who doesn't obsess?
I think that is the ultimate secret hidden in this text. It's the balance between preparation and fixation.
Unpack that for me.
You need the discipline to build the vessel. You have to build the strong body, the metabolic health. You have to do the work. You can't skip the gym and say, oh, I'm just being adaptable.
Right, that's just being lazy.
Exactly. But once you've done the work, you have to live your life. You can't become so terrified of a piece of birthday cake that you lose your joy. If you're rigid, you break. If you're adaptable, you survive. But you need the physical strength to be adaptable.
So the discipline gives you the freedom to be adaptable.
Beautifully put. The muscle lets you travel. The health lets you play with grandkids. The discipline isn't the end goal. It's the ticket to the party.
That's a powerful way to look at it. It's about expanding your capacity to live.
Extending our vital years, as the source said at the very beginning.
So here's our challenge to you, the listener. We've given you the numbers. You know the step count, 7,000 minimum. You know the diet. You know the enemy.
And you know the mindset.
The Olympic mindset. But I want to leave you with that paradox. How do you remain disciplined enough to survive without becoming so rigid that you lose the ability to thrive? Where is that line for you?
It's a question worth asking every morning while you lace up your sneakers.
Absolutely. So maybe start answering that question by taking a walk. You've got about 7,000 steps to go today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get moving. Thanks for diving in with us.
Stay vital.